goodbye. Some days 후회하겠지. Some days 후기도 하겠지. Today's the day that I'll be flying away. Yeah. 널 위해 모든 걸 줄게. 널 위해 사랑을 할게. And now my heart is depleted. 근데 넌 왜? Hey, hey.
Hey everyone, this is Noelle.
I'm Dame Dr. Foxy Brown.
This is episode 59 of the All Is Rational K-Pop Podcast. And how is everyone today? I hope everyone's fine. Are you good, Lee?
I'm mostly okay. I've consistently been making mad bad decisions when it comes to what time to go to bed on Friday nights. Like, I went to sleep at like 5:30 this morning, so...
Yeah, told me you haven't slept yet.
I was up playing Borderlands 2. And you can very quickly lose track of time in that game, I've noticed. Especially once your friends come on and are playing with you. I was playing with people for like 4.5 hours last night. So anyway, we have some K-pop stuff to talk about. Just to kick it off in a fun-ish way, I guess let's start with dating news.
Dating news. Rumors first, right?
Facts first, I guess. And then rumors.
Alright, let's start with the facts. Junjin from Shinola is dating someone. Not sure who the girl is.
Speaker and Park Joo-hyun. She's the one who raps in I'll Be There. That girl.
Okay. She's very interesting.
At first I was like, oh my god, another incident where an old guy is dating a young girl. And then she's 26, so it's alright-ish. And he's like 32. 32 and 26. So it's not that bad.
That's fine. That's okay. And are you good with that? Are you fine with that? I'm okay.
I mean, yeah. It's whatever. You know, two people meet each other, fall in love. One guy happened to be, have been a pop star for like half her life, but you know, whatever. It's like lots of these people grow up wanting to date these guys, so and it's not too exploitative-y because she's in her mid-20s, so I can get over it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, had it been someone who was like 18, that would have been questionable. But
it's just that I have issues with Junjin, and in a way, for me, he's like a serial dater.
Okay.
Serial public dater. Like, everyone knows who he's dating.
Uh-huh.
He was dating someone from We Got Married, right? Oh, gosh. Lisa Young?
Yeah.
They were together for a while?
For a good while, I think. Almost a year, I think.
And they broke up?
He went into the army, or just before he went into the army, they broke up.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which I don't understand. After the boot camp, the artists typically live at home. So, like, I don't really get why they break up, but whatever. It's not my place to understand, I guess.
Yeah, but they were on TV and We Got Married. It's like one of those relationships. One of the very few, or is it the only relationship that became real?
There may have been another one, but I don't think it was public. But that one, it was definitely the first one to become real. And it was, watching them on the show was weird, because, like, their interactions were oddly sexual. Like, they were frequently wrestling and groping at each other and stuff, and it's just strange looking at that as compared to the way the other couples interacted with each other, and they were always kind of hands-off and always very thoughtful about physical interactions with each other, whereas these two were, like, straight off play wrestling with people's heads and other people's crotches and stuff, and it's just like, this is just weird. How do you not see this is weird?
I know, but it's been a long time since that episode, right?
Oh god,
was it 2008, 2090?
I think 2009.
It's been a very long time.
Yeah. They were some of the first set of replacement couples after, the first big group of replacement couples. But, like, yeah, that was weird. Like, and there have been a couple others where you're kind of suspect of their relationship because you guys started out as not friends, but, like, you seem to have this inner speak monologue going on. Like, you're saying stuff, and, like, there's a heavy meaning underneath what you're saying. Well, these guys were way more obvious because it was physical.
Yeah, they were very physical.
Anyway, that has nothing to do with him and Park Joo-hyun right now.
But I wish them luck.
Yeah.
Whatever her name is. What's her name again?
Joo-hyun, I think.
Okay, I wish them luck. But that girl's very pretty, too.
All of the members of Speaker are quite pretty. But yes, she was surprisingly competent at rapping. I heard the song, and I think we're going to talk about the song later. But I didn't expect her, because I think BoA is also listed as a rapper. But anyway. And
I was going to say BoA? BoA.
Yes, the one with the short hair.
Oh, something very interesting about that BoA. She is part of Sweet Tune.
Part of who?
Sweet Tune, you know, the producers, Kara's resident producers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Yeah, I had no idea.
She should be making bucket loads of money.
She must be very rich.
So, hit me with the rumor.
Yeah. So, Yang and Kush are rumored to be dating. That explains the song.
It does. Because it seemed way out of left field, especially since the YG producers typically don't produce for people outside of the company. You have a second situation with Rania, but apparently that was explained as YG and the guy from DR Music had a previous relationship, and dude from DR Music helped him out in some difficult situations, so he's paying back a favor, which is cool. But there was no such explanation for Kush and So and Young.
We were wondering about how they started working together in the last episode, right? I guess this explains it.
If it's true, anyway.
Yeah. I hope it's true. I have a feeling it's true. I really have a feeling it's true. I don't know why.
I hope it is, because, like, you don't see In Young with anybody.
Except Crown J. She used to be with Crown J. And we got married as well. And, you know.
Yeah, and they were one of those people with subtext. Mm-hmm. Fights about ramen. That's just uncomfortable for everyone watching.
Yeah. You're so right. And now, we move on to the LOL news. I don't know. I mean, I just put it here just because I found it funny. Of course. This is about Big Bang and Seungri. Apparently, the Big Bang members aren't very happy with him.
Doesn't surprise me.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I like what Taeyang said. I wrote it down here. I can't actually say that I love him right at this moment. I think he needs more time to reflect.
It's the thing, and G-Dragon says something too, where he's like, I'm not really in a position to reprimand or criticize anybody, and at least he's self-aware. But, you know, obviously, you need to take some time and think about what you've been doing. But I found it funny because G-Dragon himself was in a scandal in Japan over the girl whose name I don't remember. But,
Hito.
Yeah. It was rumored that the two of them were involved for quite some time. But, like,
that's totally different from a sex scandal.
Yeah, Seungri definitely made some missteps, and like the guys have all been saying, basically, you know, we're grown-ups and things like this happen, and when they do, you know, it's always best to reflect on yourself and consider your next move from here on out. But he's okay, he's doing well. We just probably aren't talking to him right now.
Yeah, it looks like everyone's pissed off at there, because the G-Dragon said at the very end, Seungri, I don't love you yet, but I will love you and I miss you. Eventually, he will bring him in. I don't know. I find it funny. And speaking of Big Bang, Top went to the hospital because I think he cut his arm. Or not his arm, but his hand. While shooting. I think he's out of the hospital now, and performing in their concert. Yeah.
Yeah, and they added additional show in LA and yep. in New Jersey for people who haven't been able to get it. So if you're still looking to get in, the second LA concert is November 2nd. The second New Jersey concert is November 8th. So enjoy yourselves. I won't be going, but have fun.
I don't know if I'll be going because I wasn't able to get tickets. I am now looking for tickets. Jesus. I'm so upset.
If you have tickets for the Philippines show,
give it to me. Donate it to me. Someone needs it badly. And yeah, I was saying the funny thing is that before recording this episode, I was driving around and popped in a CD, just random K-pop songs. And so happens that most of the songs there were from Big Bang. I'm like, the fuck is this? Remind me of what I'm going to be missing. It just pissed me off. It was just a random CD. I had no idea what was in that CD, and it was almost all Big Bang. I'm like, gee, this should make me really happy.
So, big YG family news, I guess. Epic High's comeback is going to be October 19th, and they're going to release a track called It's Cold on October 9th, featuring Lee Ha-yi, the runner-up from Superstar K. So, for everyone that has been waiting for the last almost 3 years, really.
This is good news.
We're standing on the cusp of the Epic High return. We're going to find out how different or how the same their sound is going to be, and how much they've really learned and experienced in the past 3 years that we haven't been hearing from them musically. So that should be interesting.
Very, very interesting. And this is their 7th album. Wow. 7. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been almost 10 years, I think.
Yeah. And I have a feeling it's still going to be typical Epic High, very good stuff. I mean, we were scared with Tableau, but as it turns out, he kept his musical style. He wasn't really into the YG electronic thing when he released this album, so that's good, right?
Hopefully their tracks are less like Run and more like their older stuff, though.
Well, we don't know. One thing. Okay, now, I think we're done with the YG news, and what we have here next up is some more news for you. Itzhak is finally going to the army. Finally.
Thank God, because Tae went all ninja version to the army. He's like, oh, hey guys, I shaved my head. I'm gone now. And it's just but we didn't even know. I was adamant when we were talking about him. I think the last time we talked about Handsome People, I was confused as to whether or not he even been in the army yet. Because he was missing musically for a couple years. So I'd assumed in that time that he was in the army, but it turns out that he just went in. And of course, Itzhak is the same age as Tae and Hee-cho. I have no clue how old Sang-chu is, but I assume are in that same age group.
Sang-chu is going to the army as well. Same date as Itzhak on the 30th, right? October 30th? Yeah. As usual, people who go to the army, wish them luck. Come back better people, better men, and hopefully you still...
And alive.
And of course, hopefully they still have their musical career to back, because 2 years is a long time K-pop.
Yeah, and especially since you're going to have more people in Super Junior going into the army soon. God, what's his name? Yesung is born in 1984, so... He's going to be the next person who's shortly going to be too old to not go. So he'll be 29 next year. Shindong is born in 85. So he'll be 29 in 2014. So in the next couple years, you're going to have a lot of people having to go. And then I think a couple members of the group are born in 86 and 87. And then you have Kyuhyun in 88. So... They're going to be rotating people in and out of the army, and it's going to be interesting to see if the group survives that. I mean, obviously, it's a large group, so you can do without some of the members, but after a certain point, it's going to be, do the guys still want to be Super Junior? Because when you look at it, this is 7 years since debut, and their music has been doing a little bit of a downward spiral. Their popularity hasn't been affected, but the music itself is just... It seems like the people who were fans when they debuted aren't as much fans now due to the same musical direction. Like, they have the same problem as Secret, where they're basically remaking the same song over and over, except Secret has more talent. So, and breasts, you know, so they can get away with that. Whereas Super Junior doesn't have breasts.
Don't say no talent. That's okay. I thought you were going to say
I'm not going to say no talent. That would be a lie. There is some talent there. Yeah, like I said before, not all of it is vocal, but there's quite a bit of talent in Super Junior.
Now, what's next? Where's my list?
It's another YG news, I guess. Guhaesun is suing an Edison for what now?
Where is my list? Ground is rumors. I think she was offended by what an Edison said. Says here, when she shot a movie before, she thought that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was the same person as Mary Magdalene, the prostitute, and she took offense to that. Okay. This girl is very smart, you know? As far as I know, her IQ is very high, and I guess that's why she took offense. I don't understand. Because supposed ignorance.
Okay? Maybe it's...
Supposed ignorance. It made her look stupid.
Yeah, maybe it's damaging her brand to make her look less intelligent. Because a lot of her fame post Boys Over Flowers, that was the show she was in, right? Was about how intelligent she was, about how she's making movies, about how she's writing scripts, and she's a virtuoso at music and all of this other stuff. And it's all based around how intelligent she is. And I guess if that's damaged in any way, she could stand to lose money. Yeah. So. I suppose that's why that Edison is getting sued.
Tweeted, apparently, if you spread around his rumors, you can be punished. Okay, great. Well, it is damaging because she's known to be a very smart person. I understand. I understand her feelings. Mm-hmm. Although, if you were in her position, would you have to?
I just have... Like, maybe this is just like the cherry on top. That caused it a trip or the straw that broke the camel's back. Is me personally, if this was the only thing, I'd just be like, you know, whatever. Okay, good. I'm pretty confident in how intelligent I am, but okay.
You think I'm stupid and fine, but I don't think so. I'm a lot smarter than you. That's what I'm gonna say. I really wouldn't have to. So, next bit of news here is some plagiarism news for you. And this is about, it's a movie. It's called Masquerade. And apparently it plagiarized Dave, American movie.
It's believed to have plagiarized Dave because remember, the Korean media and netizens are very anxious, I guess would be the word, to point out, any instance where there may be plagiarism, sort of because I guess they want to shame the person before someone outside of the country can. So, the general theme of the movie seems to be similar. The president and the king are indisposed, and because they still need that guy, they hire replacements, keep that information secret from the dude's wife. And then some of the other characters in the show are similar. But CJ E&M says that they didn't have to buy the rights to Dave because it's not a copy of the movie in any way. And they stand behind the belief that though the theme is similar, the stories are different.
I haven't seen Masquerade, but I've seen Dave. I mean, I understand where the innocents are coming from because it's the same theme, but really, this kind of theme is quite common in movies, right? This is not the only movie that uses someone as a double, right?
I mean, honest, if we be honest, it's just a rip of The Prince and the Pauper, like, when you look at it. It's just that only one guy is active. So basically, we've been telling the same Prince and the Pauper story for, I don't know, hundreds of years.
Same thing.
And I hate that story. So, like, I mean, I hope it's not a blatant copy that they're trying to get away with. And if they're not, like, calm down. Not everything has to be plagiarism just because you didn't like a movie.
Yep. So true. I mean, not unless the producers of Dave Sue, the producers of Masquerade, then yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's plagiarism, I'll believe that.
And if that happens, let it be decided in court how similar the movies actually are.
Still, they don't say anything, doesn't really matter. Same me. Okay? All right.
So CCM, they're still stupid. Trying to make themselves look.
No, they're like trying to make themselves look stupid. More stupid, stupider.
They're from their frame of reference, they're trying to make themselves look like the good guys. They just come off looking stupid. So they're suing against the producers of Five Fingers, which was the drama Eunjung was supposed to be in, but she got dropped from because of the whole Tiara controversy, and they didn't want their brand associated with any of that. They're saying that Eunjung has suffered, undue mental strife because she was involved with all of the promotional material up until that point and was suddenly dropped overnight without any real explanation.
I like the reason, Dee. They decided to file the case because they wanted to regain her reputation. Like, what reputation now? I mean, it's ruined.
I mean, like, the way I look at it, I guess, is if the judgment comes out in their favor, then that does do a certain measure of preserving and protecting her reputation, because it's like this company jumped the gun and acted dickishly, and our actress basically, like, she had a lead role in this show and now she doesn't, and it's unlikely she's gonna get another lead role for a while. However, if the suit fails on their side, it just makes them look overly litigious, and it's gonna make people even more hesitant to hire her. So it's kind of, I guess, a lose-lose, maybe win situation.
10% win.
So,
80%
I guess,
lose.
Like, I don't want to see her career destroyed over something she may or may not have participated in. Because, again, we don't know all the details. I mean, in a case like this, they may be forced to put out the details in court, because you never know what length the Five Fingers producers are going to go to protect their own interests, because they may just force core contents to prove what actually happened to see if they were justified or not in firing her. And that would be interesting if we find out what the actual sides of the situation are.
Yeah, and then when we find out, I wonder what CCM is going to say next, right? I mean, at this point, I won't be surprised if Kim Kwang Soo is going to say, it's all a dream. This is all a bad dream. Tomorrow you will wake up and forget all about this. Oh my god.
Ah. So your boy got casted. Is this a drama or a movie?
It's a drama. It's called I Miss You. And I don't know if it's a romantic comedy or not. I'm not sure if it's a melodrama or a romantic comedy. I'm not sure. But he has another lead role. And he's been doing well in terms of dramas lately. So I'm happy for him.
Yeah, for what is basically a tiny company with, I think, only... they only represent two other people. They've been doing pretty well in terms of the acting roles they've been securing for their artists, and of course it helps that they already established themselves before the whole lawsuit situation, even though their popularity really only jumped up in shows they were participating in after. But Yoo-chan and Jae-jung have been doing quite well. Jun-su, we know, is doing the solo world tour thing, so, you know, good for him. Them.
Yep. And I'm actually surprised that Yoo-chan can act. Honestly.
Look. Come on.
Yeah. Hi.
I don't want to go into that with you. Because, but other big, I guess, music news, and it's going to tie into our free talk later. Psy was announced this week as being in the number two position on the Billboard Hot 100 singles. So that's a pretty awesome feat. for a song, again, entirely in Korean.
Congratulations, Apa. Very good. Now, the number one spot is not too far away. Damn, yep. Right? If that happens. Wow.
Yeah, if he can keep up his momentum and there's nothing really huge released next week, he should be able to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think Rihanna's song is coming up, or is it out? I'm not sure.
What, Diamonds? Let me not say a name, because that just makes it sound like I listen to Rihanna. The radio does things to me. So, let's jump into comebacks, debuts, and new releases. I think we have a few.
Yes.
This list is all out of order, so.
Because we almost had the same list. But anyway, let's start with Miss S.
Yes.
And they're back with Smokeless. And I was surprised. Sneak Attack again, ninjas?
I know, right?
These girls are ninjas. Where'd they come from?
It's like, they're sitting down one day and you're like, man, it would be awesome. Like, between sleep and wake, it would be awesome if there was another Miss S song. And I wake up, come to Twitter, and it's like, Miss S releasing, like, what? Yes. But,
what happened, right?
I don't know. But there's, I was looking through YouTube, and there's a couple of teasers that make it seem like it's a sort of like a stop smoking campaign, but I'm not sure. Because, of course, all of them is primarily speaking, and I don't understand Korean. But there's a teaser with Swings, there's a teaser with Verbal Jint, and with Phantom, and I think there may be one other. And then there's a teaser with all of them together singing parts of the song. And the song itself is quite good. Of course, it's Miss S. It is. You know.
Oh, and by the way, this song was composed and produced by Sanju, Mighty Mouth, who's off to the army soon, like mentioned earlier. Yeah.
Would not have thought.
It's a very good song. I just heard it today. I like it. I miss them. I hope they come back with a full release, like a full album.
I think it's, again, like, this is just Google Chrome translating the YouTube description into English, but it seems as though somewhere in there that I think Smokeless is a single ahead of a I don't know if it's going to be a full length or a mini album, but it's ahead of another physical release.
That makes me happy. Miss S is good. Anything from them makes me happy. So, yeah.
Yep.
We move on.
So, for one group.
Girl in the emo.
Like, watching the teaser, I thought that was going to be dumb. But I guess I'm surprised by how much I love the song, even though I shouldn't be.
Me too. I mean, you shouldn't be. I'm surprised at myself.
It's like, it's UKISS. I mean, UKISS has been amazing for like the last 2 years or so. Again, like, there is nothing they can do to be famous, apparently. Nothing.
That's the sad
including
part.
Making great songs. Like, every one of their members has improved dramatically since debut. I was surprised Kisup has singing lines, and they sound good. I caught a live, I think, of Music Bank. I think the first...
I was able to see that. The first performance of Music Bank. This is what happened. Mm-hmm. I just woke up. Boyfriend says, watch Music Bank. Turn on TV. I'm like, oh, UKISS, fine. They were very good. And the dance moves, it was really good, too. It was apt for the song. I appreciated UKISS.
I was surprised when Kevin was dancing with the girl. Like, all sorts of things about this is blowing my mind. God, I don't remember his name now. My favorite member.
I was going to say AJ.
No. Not AJ. Soohyun. He has an amazing note towards the end of the song that just, like, I had to keep rewinding and listening to it. And it's just, like, it's sad because I know other people in the fandom are just gonna, like, say, oh, UKISS has a new song, I'll skip and go to the next piece of news. When, really, it's a fantastic song. It's gonna be involved in some way in this episode.
Yep.
Whether it's the opening or middle song, but...
Like,
and there's like really nothing I can say in terms of how much I love UKISS, because like you should know by now, and it's just sad that other people don't embrace them in the same way
like you do. Yeah, well, you know, I don't really know. I'm not gonna say I don't really like them. I'm not much of a UKISS fan, but their releases for the past year or so, it has been very good. So yeah, I appreciate them more now, and that's a good thing, right?
Yep. And I think I think Chaos is a 2012 group.
Why
this is like, I think so. I don't know. There's so many groups. I think this is definitely their latest single. I'm trying to remember if it's the second single or the third single, but it's Kiss Kiss. It's all right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not blown away by it, but it's probably one of those songs that if you listen to multiple times, you grow an appreciation for it as you hear more and more nuances of the song. It seems like it could be good. But
I can't even remember who this group is. I'm sorry.
I know a previous song of theirs was named Racer.
Ah.
That's all I can tell you.
Alright. I remember the name of the song, but...
And I think they're the group where one of the members is Park Taeyang.
Ah.
I think it's them.
Ah, okay. Interesting. I remember bits and pieces about the group, but for goodness sake, I can't remember their song. Alright. So, we move on. Nabi is back with Don't Go. And of course, Nabi is still very good.
And this is a full ballad song that surprisingly doesn't have any guest hip-hop artists. Because I don't think the last single, but all of her singles before that, she's had her debut single featured Tableau, which is a fantastic song that I love. She had a song featuring Crown J and Hyuna, and I think Junhyung from Beast. So she does a lot of collaborations, I guess, because we're in that age where every song has to have a rap person and has to have a little bit of hip-hop cred, and we're not really as attentive to ballads as we should be, and it seems as though you have to sort of have whether a hip-hop verse or whether some rock guitar instrumental. I don't even know the word I was going for. But you have to have something in that shifts the tone and the feel of the song, like sort of halfway through, so people are like, okay, this is not boring. Or it has to be a dance break inserted in the song, and it's really...
Why did you insert a dance break in the middle of a ballad, though?
Listen, Gina did, okay? So it's really comforting, I think, to just go back to a straight ballad.
Yeah, I like...
I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of ballads, but I do like to see vocalists be able to show off and not be forced into a certain style because, hey, this is what's popular and this is the only way I'm going to make money and this is the only way I'm going to compete with people that are far less talented than I am. So, it's good to see.
Far less talented than I am.
I mean, I can say stuff like that because the K-pop artists really are never going to. So,
yep.
Just saying, subjectively, they are far less talented than Navi.
Yeah, I agree. Don't have to defend yourself because it's true. I know that. Now, the next song that we have here for a comeback is Rania, and they're back with Style. And this is the YG-produced song.
It's Tableau. Like written by Tableau and produced by Teddy?
Yeah. No, not Teddy.
Troy Tang. Okay.
Yeah, Teddy did something.
Teddy and PK, but the music video is like you could swap all of the Rania members out and replace them with 21. It is the same video, unfortunately. But the song itself, I was surprised because I was spending the whole video looking for Juyi, and it didn't dawn on me that there were only five people in the video until the second time I watched it.
Juyi, I was like, is it in the song?
I mean, but that still shows you like the talent level of this group. That the most powerful vocalist and arguably the best vocalist in her age group. Again, I think we've mentioned that we would take her over Sistar, those leader whose name I don't remember.
Yorin.
I don't know.
What?
Thank you.
You're kidding.
I don't know where my brain went. That we would take Juyi over Hyorin, and that's not necessarily a popular argument, but the only member of Rania that lacks any next level talent, because I won't say any talent, is the leader, Sami or Shame, whichever one is her name. And this song is obviously heavily electronic, because it's, you know, YG. Very catchy. And it seems to be about, obviously, a girl saying that, like, dudes like you aren't the kind of guy I'm into, you should just go away. And the video itself is, of course, very materialistic. And they threw in this totally unnecessary, provocative dance step, like, hip thrust in the air, just in case you forgot you were listening to Ronnie and you thought it was, like, 21 or something.
Yeah. You forgot about Rania's dance moves, huh? So, yeah, there's still Rania. But, of course, a YG song. Everything is done by YG. Concepts, choreography, styling, everything was done by YG. And I think it's pretty cool.
The backup dancers are YG dancers as well. Because people were freaking out because the twins are in the video and I don't even know them. Yeah, but, you know. Yeah. And another thing I noticed as I was watching it, of course, of the members that I know by name and face, other than Juyi, like, D is the most prominent person. And
She was the blonde girl, right?
She
used to be blonde, or she's still blonde?
Her hair's... Part of the video, her hair is purple, and the other part, it's brown. But if you don't remember from Dr. Feelgood, she's the one who has the near kiss in part of the choreography. And I'm just...
She has the short hair, right?
She still has
short hair. Very short hair.
And I'm watching this video, and I'm just like, man, as I'm looking at this, I'm like, CL could not pull off this song better than her. And, like, that's saying a lot, because it's pretty much the same exact style as CL, and I think, in general, she's sort of been similar to that. But it's just, like, this girl has more presence, I think, at Ronnie's young age, really, because I don't even know how old she is. But Ronnie's only been around for a year, and it's interesting seeing them look so much like their seniors, I guess, and not be bad at it. Because, of course, there's inevitable comparisons. YG only has one girl group. The song...
For now, yeah.
Yeah. This song is very easily the kind of song that 21 would do. And it's... It's very promising, I think, seeing them slip into that same kind of role and not be horribly inconvenienced.
They can still pull it off.
And, of course,
they can still pull it off.
Like I mentioned on Twitter, I would love to see them do the kind of songs that Spica typically does, where you can really see them show off vocally and show how good they are, because the people who don't listen to Rania only see Dr. Feelgood and Pop 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 and this song, and it's very hard to show how talented they are just from these.
They're very, very talented. They can really sing well, and even if you take the out of the equation, they still sound good, and that speaks a lot. Okay, that speaks a lot when it comes to the level of vocal talent in K-pop these days. That speaks a lot.
So, since I referenced Spica, I'll Be There is a song that I was concerned about, because it's kind of dancey.
I liked it.
And poppy. I mean, when the teaser came out.
I didn't know why people don't like it.
And the song is very, very 90s inspired. It sounds like a 90s U.S. pop song and a early 2000 era K-pop song. Met in a bar, got drunk, and had a kid. And this is a kid... This song is like the child that they don't really acknowledge, but is more talented than either of them. It's a pretty interesting mix of nostalgia and current styles. And one thing that really struck
me... It takes me back to the day where K-pop was really happy and innocent and, you know, I like it.
Okay. And one thing that really struck me looking at the video is that a lot of the costuming isn't, like, really over the top. It's a very casual sort of song.
It's very ugly. What are you talking about?
Ugly. No, I'm saying it's casual. You're mean. It's, like, white t-shirts and cut-off jeans and Timberlands. And it's just, like... it really is. It's, like, old school and tomboyish and... Like, when you look at how far all of the other groups are going, in terms of costuming to flaunt, for lack of a better word, their better assets, which is ridiculous because for a lot of these groups, their best asset is their vocals or the dancing ability and not necessarily their legs or breasts or whatever. And it's kind of nice to see them just like, okay, we're going to dress like we're running to the store and stand up here and sing and dance and you're going to love it. And it's really great to hear like loud cheering for Spico as they're performing.
I saw their comeback performance on Music Bank as well, just right after you kiss, or right before you kiss, and they're wearing the same ugly costume, or whatever you want to call that. I'm like, can you not afford more clothes?
Please dress better next time. B2M's clothing budget has been squandered on Lee Hyori, okay? And she's not even promoting right now. Like, her closet size is ridiculous. But it probably by the next time they'll have some good stuff, I guess, because they will have money by then. And I think
one thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think they were involved to a certain degree in the creation of the song. So
I see. People have been saying that it sounds like Chad and Jackson's together again. Maybe the chorus part.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It does a bit. It took inspiration from Chad and Jackson.
That's not a bad place to take inspiration from.
Yeah. And the songs are good. And one thing though, their dancing ability, it has improved a bit. So,
I'm happy. they were probably dancing constantly since they went on break.
So happy about that. I wonder what they'll do next. Are they going back to the dark side?
I mean, they don't necessarily have to make dark ballads, dark power ballads, but I would prefer that they, I think they shouldn't be in the middle necessarily. Like, this song is like, I think Kara's debut song and, was it, God, what's the other group under DSP?
Double S.
No,
Finkel.
Rock. Not old, new.
Rainbow?
Is a girl group.
Rainbow?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like, Rainbow Mach,
yeah,
I think is the song everyone loved. And Kara's, God, was it Rock You? Or something like that. Those two songs were like, it was a mix of nostalgia and kind of being in that happy place between, like, straight on nauseating bubble pop and... Yeah, that's
think
the right word.
It.
I don't actually mean the song. I don't mean the song bubble pop, obviously, but I mean the genre, bubblegum pop, rather. And
now, when you think about it, both songs that you mentioned were produced by Sweet Tune. You said that the girls of Spica were involved in the song.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Boa was involved as well, because, you know, like I've said earlier, she's part of Sweet Tune, so it's very interesting.
I'm surprised I even remember those songs, but yeah, it's like this happy medium between like bubblegum pop and the more serious pop there. You know, that's kind of an oxymoron, but oh my god, that child just screamed ice cream. Anyway, that is a good place to be. Like, you don't compromise your artistic values too much. And it's not so much selling out just so you could get the tweens and the creepy older guys into the song. And you get to sort of do what you want while compromising a little bit for popularity. It's not that bad.
I don't think they're selling out. I see it as they're exploring different musical styles, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing to keep in mind is they just debuted this year. So it's going to take them a while to find a niche.
Speaking of new groups, I am pleasantly surprised by Lunafly and their NNWorks' boy group, Freak Guys.
Right. I think first idol boy group.
Mm-hmm. They have a song out, it's called Superhero, and they sing in English, and they sound really good, and I'm so happy, and it's a straight rap breaks. I'm happy.
And it's oh, not at least the English version. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's like, no sappy ballad. It's sort of a sorrowful song. No rap breaks, done entire, the English version anyway, done acoustic. All of the guys are playing an instrument. All of the guys have really beautiful voices, all three of them.
So
and I guess this is the kind of quality we somewhat expect from Nega Network. I mean, obviously, they're the people behind Sunny Hill and Brown Eyed Girls. So, you know, if you're releasing a group and you're Nega Network, it better be the guys, the members better be damn talented. Their looks better be secondary. And we better be loving whichever song comes out.
Yeah.
And it seems like they've hit on all three points here, so.
Except for the music video. It's like they've squandered all their music video budget on Brown Eyed Girls and Sunny Hill. And then they were left with nothing for Ludafly's music video.
But I think this the video itself works because it allows you to just concentrate on the song without too much in the background that you have to try and figure out. And in mentioning Nega Network, it's worthwhile, I guess, to point out that Guyan of Brown Eyed Girls is going to have another solo promotion. We're not talking about the teasers because I'm not into all of that noise. But there's that to look forward to if you're a fan of the groups in general. Ludafly, hopefully we see a lot more from them because this song is really good.
I would say you guys look for them. They're very good. And this is one of the very few debuts that caught my eye and, you know, my eyes and ears for here, Ludafly. So I think they're going to be quite big, hopefully, in the future. I hope they just don't disappear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, who's back?
Wisung.
Wisung is back with Masterpiece of You. He's in the army, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
No, but yeah, he's back with a new song, ballad. I didn't really listen to it. He's a Wisung fan, of course, back with a very good book. And yeah, let's go listen to it. I have to now. A lot of people will be very happy to know that he's out with new material.
Yeah, he is currently serving in the army.
Next is Junchu, JY's Junchu. Also has a new song now. It's called Love is Like a Snow Flower. It's from Nice Guy. It's a drama. So it's a soundtrack song. And as usual, it's a ballad. It's good. I just listened to it once. And I don't know where it's in the MP3. Somewhere here in my computer. Not saying that it's boring, but I was just busy while I was listening to it. Why are you snickering?
Okay, and lastly. I'm not doing anything.
Lastly, DSK is back with Catch Me. And, you know, for a DSK fan, I am surprised at myself. I didn't even bother with the release this time. I don't know why. This song, okay, this song, I listened to it once, twice. Like I was telling D earlier, it's sensitive. I mean, you know what I mean, right? When I say a song sounds expensive, it's like the production is top rate, top notch. But I don't really like it much. Oh my god. It's a dance song, and it has, what do you call that genre? I was going to say breakbeat. Damn it. What's that D? I forgot. Oh, my goodness. No.
Break dancing? Dance break?
I was just talking about it earlier. Oh, goodness. Well, damn it. Oh, so embarrassing. The hell? My memory is failing me. Oh. What does Bubble Pop have right in the middle? Were you the dentist? There you go. Thank
Dubstep.
You. Dubstep. It has dubstep. And, you know, I guess EBSK could do a lot better, but the fans are happy, and they released a full album, so I guess some songs in the album must be good. I haven't listened to the entire album, I just listened to the D track, and honestly don't really get much as of yet. Maybe if I listen to it more, it would be very interesting. I'd like it. But as usual, the choreography is top-notch, as expected from BBSK. And they have this robot dance thingy going on. So I don't know how they're going to perform that live. It's going to be very interesting.
Okay, so that's the end of our comebacks, debuts, and new releases. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk racism. But
a different kind of racism.
담배 좀 줄여 벌써 몇 개째야 그만 좀 울어 이 바보야 다른 사람 만날 때 웃으며 만나야지 아무 일 없는 것처럼 웃어 그만 좀 마셔 벌써 몇 병째야 정신 좀 차려 너만 손해야 다른 사람 만날 땐 웃으며 좀 들어봐 도대체 왜 그래 세상에 널린 게 여잔데 뭐 때문에 네가 어디가 못나서 여태껏 이러고 있어 걘 아무렇지 않던데 웬 너 혼자 못 잊어 세상 다산 폐인처럼 왜 이러는 거야 속 버리고 시간 버리고 너만 후회할 거야 정신 좀 차리고 자리에서 일어나 어서 바보 같은 네 모습 제발 이제는 집어쳐
바보도 하지 마
절대 하지 마
부자도 하지
번호도 지워 나도 알아 절대 쉽지 않을 거란 걸 문신처럼 새겨진 사람이었다는 걸
생각하지 마
너만 손해야
전화 걸지 마
몇 번을 말해 넌 지금 내 말이 하나도 안 들어오겠지 밀어내도 파도처럼 밀려오겠지
담배 좀 줄여
담배 좀 줄여 제발
벌써 몇 개째야 그만 좀
So, in case you haven't heard, Tiger JK as well as Tasha, and at least one of the artists probably busy, were performing tied together with the Creators Project, which they've been a part of for the better part of the last year. And I think it's a mix with Intel and somebody else. And this is a performance in Korea. And I originally thought the performance was outside of Korea because of what happened. And while he was on stage doing his set, some belligerent white guy in the audience decided it'd be a good thing to do to heckle him. And in the heckling, he's shouting at the guy, at Tiger JK, who again is like the godfather of real rap music in Korea, and he's asking him to do Gangnam Style on stage, and like JK gets really irate at this,
and he gets riled up.
It seems like he cuts his set short, and he starts yelling at the guy in the audience and cursing him out, and he starts yelling out in English, of course, about racism and how white people just think that the Asians are a funny guy. And he's like, it went from yelling at this one guy to saying, fuck all white people, CNN, and so on and so forth, going higher and higher until I guess he just ended the set and left the stage. And there was some negative reviews of the whole thing. Like, one blog who was there seemed to say that he just went off on this tirade unprovoked almost, and it was really uncomfortable for the English speakers in the audience, because obviously there's that sort of element, you're there to enjoy yourself, and the artist that you came to see cuts his set short, goes off on what you see as a racist rant, assuming the person who wrote that is white, so that's the way they would interpret it. But when you look at it from his situation as a guy who's dealt with a lot of racist attacks against his person, that one of his claims of fame is that he wrote an answer song to Ice Cube's Black Corrido. You know that his wife has dealt with a lot of racism within Korea, because of the darker tone of her skin, because of her African-American heritage. You know, their son has dealt with a lot of discrimination as well, and the kid isn't even 4 years old yet. And you know he's had problems being taken seriously when he was working out of the States because he's a Korean-American rapper. And, like, there's all these issues there, and he sort of immediately apologized because by the time I woke up, he was on Twitter apologizing. And he's saying, you know, I appreciate Psy and everything he's done. No more power to him. I really wish him success, but I am not Psy. Right? Don't expect me to go up on stage.
Don't expect him to go Gangnam Style.
And do a horse dance. Like, that's not what I'm about. That's not what I'm going to do. If you've seen me perform before, you know I don't dance when I perform. You know that that Tiger JK is a serious artist, and it's very disrespectful if the tone of the concert is not lighthearted for you to be, you know, shouting at this guy to do it just because he's Asian. And it's weird because you're in Korea. Would you do that for anybody that's on stage rapping? Would you yell at anyone that's Korean and rapping to, you know, do Gangnam Style? And some of them would do it. Like, if you're at an idol show, is a possibility that they may throw that in. But even idols are very rigorous and whatnot about their choreography, and they're unlikely to change it unless, like, it's an encore. And there's a little bit of audience conduct issues in there as well, like what governs good conduct. And
yeah, that's what happened. And no, before he apologizes, this is the thing. Not a lot of, I think, okay, most of the people weren't aware of why he went off on stage like that. Because I think the person who wrote the blog didn't know what was going on in front.
Right?
They weren't aware. They couldn't see. I think so. That's why they were surprised. And I was surprised at that blog post. And then he explained what happened. There was this person tackling him. I'm not sure if it's just one person or a group of people, but people in front, there was people in front who was tackling him, and that's why he went off. And he just went crazy.
Of course, it's easy. It's easy to say that there are a lot of better ways he could have handled this. Like I said, you know, you could have had those people ejected from the show, basically. I've seen it done, I've heard of it being done, in concerts in the US, where the artist will just stop the song, and on the microphone, ask security to escort these people out for being unruly and such. But like I was saying, because this is part of a creator's project show, because this is in Korea, and there are different issues when it comes to respect and artists and audience interaction, maybe he felt as though he couldn't do that. Maybe he was so angry he couldn't do that. Maybe he felt as though it was an issue at the time that needed to be addressed right then and there. Because, you know, you can't allow other people to do that to you in the future. Especially if you end up in a show in the States. And all they know of Korean rap at this point on a mainstream level is Gangnam Style. So you coming from Korea, the assumption is going to be that this is just as big there as it is here, and you should know this being Korean. So there are levels of racism involved in this, and no, Tiger JK is not the racist. It's not him. He was reacting to a situation where a racist was yelling at him. Now, you may not see the racism inherent in that, but as someone who has been in the entertainment industry for a long time, he's aware of it. You can see it reflected in the movies. The Asian male characters are nerdy or they're clowns.
Stereotypes. Yeah, that's the typical Asian stereotype. And he said something that Hollywood thinks that Asians are just a comic relief. And this is what the movie just propagated, unfortunately. And there is, of course, an inherent level of racism there. And I would say that, you know, he became very emotional. He was so angry, and, you know, he could have really done something about it. He could have acted in a different way, but I don't blame him. Okay, because if I was there, I would not have said anything, but I would just have gotten off stage and just hit that person right in the face. That's it. That's even worse, right?
Yeah, it is. The story isn't going to be racist heckler gets tossed from show or whatever. It's gonna be crazy artist loses it and violently attacks innocent audience members. So again, there are better ways to handle it, but none of us were in his shoes. In his shoes, none of us have lived the kind of lives he's lived, and none of us are really in that kind of position where we get who heckles at a concert? Like, seriously, if you don't enjoy it, leave. Because I think 21 was at the show too. If it's not what you wanted to hear,
they were there.
Like, chill, sit down, talk to your friends, whatever, but don't be a douche. And, like, that's one of the really simple things in life. There's no reason for you to be a jerk like that. There's no reason for you to go, I'm bored with this show, why don't you dance like a monkey or a horse or whatever? And it's just like, how is that what you expect from the show? And I think part of the really horrible discussion that's been brought up in this whole thing is that nobody is really blaming the aggressor in this situation. Nobody's blaming this guy or these group of guys for doing what they did. We're all upset and acknowledging the one with the influence who reacted, because that's basically what happened. He reacted to a terrible situation, and he may have handled it in a poor way, but he's not wrong for reacting. And
he's only human.
We really have to keep that in mind. Like, I saw people say, you know, I'm disappointed in Tiger JK. I've lost a lot of respect for him because now I know he's a racist. And I still don't think he's racist. And it's really ridiculous to assert that he's racist.
He was angry. He was very, very angry. And it was a spur of the moment thing. It was very emotional. He was up on stage. People were heckling him, dissing him. And he was, you know, it's like you expect him to dance the horse dance. I don't know. It's so disrespectful, really.
And it's like
to Tiger JK.
He went too far in his anger. He should not have blanket statement all white people, and he's apologizing to Vice and to Intel because he's like, okay, I know that you guys are white people and we're working with you and we respect you for the opportunity you've given us, and it wasn't cool of me to say all of that, right? But the manager of the website Do You Know Hip Hop, which is a blog in Korean hip hop, he said basically what you've done by yelling at Tiger JK to do the horse dance is like going to an Eminem concert and heckling him to do the shuffle. Like, that's the sort of magnitude that you're dealing with here. The magnitude
that's
the
analogy. Yeah.
Of disrespect. That he's facing at this point. Like I said, any idol concert, like, they probably would not do it, but it's slightly more appropriate to ask them to do that dance, even though shouting it out at a concert is really not really ever appropriate. But if they asked you,
not cool.
Like, hey, you know, what song you want to hear? What do you want us to do? Fine. But it did not seem like this was a call and response kind of situation. He was not taking requests. And it was just so blatantly disrespectful, I think, that he ended up going off on the guy. Again, it's unfortunate he lost control of his anger. It's unfortunate that he offended far more people than he intended to offend. And I think when you're angry, and especially when you're angry in the face of racism, it's very hard to be specific in your anger. Especially if it's a person you don't know. It's very hard to just lash out at just this one person. And it's very hard not to see them, that single person, as representative of the entire group of oppressors. In this situation, obviously, when you look at the people with power and prestige in the world, really, because it's easy to look at it in the frame of reference as Korea, where the white people are a minority in Korea. White people are not necessarily respected, even though some people may enjoy privileges other people don't, other minorities don't, because they're white. But when you look at the entire world, a lot of the power and privilege is concentrated in European countries, in Canada and America, and people of European descent. Even though you may not realize it, you naturally have an amount of power and privilege that people of other ethnic groups don't. And we see it as minorities and we feel it. And it's very frustrating, I think, to be under this systemic oppression and finally react to it. Because a lot of people just go through life as this is the way it is And when horrible things are said to me, it's what I expect, so I don't react. But I think it's very
bad.
I guess the good part of this is people, even though they may not realize the significance of it, people are seeing, you know, what happens when you throw ignorance at someone who's been experiencing ignorance their entire life. And he reacted the way he did, and of course he's sorry for it. And I think that was a legitimate apology. Because he could have said, you know, I said something wrong, I shouldn't have, and did the classic, like, non-apology that we see so frequently.
With a handwritten letter to boot, huh?
Right. That we see so frequently in this industry. But he took to Twitter, where he's very active on Twitter. And we see him talk frequently, and there was nothing of the usual humorous tone that he uses. He specifically apologized to a lot of people, including Vice and Intel, and everybody at the Creators Project for giving them the opportunity. I don't remember if he apologized specifically to the audience, but as a musician, you could see that he takes this whole thing very seriously. And I'm sorry for him and everyone that attended that and put on the event that it got to that that place. And it's obviously, it's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable. And when you come to see artists perform, you don't really come to see them go on a rant and childishly, like, abandon their set.
Not unless something happens.
Right.
Not unless something major happens, like what happened at that event.
Like what the blog post pointed out, like, not everybody was aware of what happened at the show. They just saw him go off on an angry tirade and cut his set short. And it's unfortunate that everyone wasn't made aware of the situation, so that they would be slightly more understanding. But obviously I hope things like this don't happen in the future. And
hopefully. Not just with him, okay? Everyone else.
It sort of answers people, like, there were concerns when Gangnam Style first started taking off that it was just reinforcing the stereotype. And again, it's unfortunate because I made the song and the video for the Korean audience and not necessarily the international one, and it doesn't help that the international audience has picked up on him as the Asian male stereotype of a clown. And it's kind of been shown in the way he's been treated on some shows. So obviously,
what's that show? What's that show where he was made up as a housekeeper or something? Or is dusting?
I can't remember. Because I didn't watch the clip. Was it... I don't know if it was Chelsea Lately, but I think...
Yeah,
it,
Chelsea. That's her. Chelsea Lately, yeah.
So, it's... Obviously, it's an uphill climb with the way Asians are represented in general in the West, and the way Asian males are specifically. There's still a lot of room to go and a lot of room to grow, and it only really works if the oppressor in this situation obviously understands and starts to figure out that, hey, the way we're treating these people and the way we're representing them, because you can't necessarily blame the actors and the musicians for taking the roles that they're given. Everybody wants to work. And we don't really consider the way we're representing our entire race to white people, not necessarily to our own race. But when we do things like this, and I think someone got called out over being in a racist commercial and all sort of stuff. But when we do things like that, we're blaming the wrong person. Like, yeah, maybe she should have known better, or maybe he should have known better. But, like, they want to work. And these are the roles they're getting. And really the people we should be taking issue with are the people who created the system in the first place and who are restricting everybody. Obviously, after Sia passes through, we would love, and we've talked about this before, we would love to see more homegrown Asian American artists get the opportunity to succeed, especially the ones that are able to share stories that we can all relate to. Like, their songs aren't statistically any different from mainstream songs we're enjoying. The only thing that's perceptibly different about them is, instead of being black or instead of being white or Hispanic, they're Asian. Other than that, they sound the same way, they write the same way. A lot of their music is very same or similar in the same genres that we all love and enjoy. And to them, it may not necessarily be the case, but to them, it seems like the only thing really holding them back from a deal. And I think some of them have been told this explicitly. Like, if you weren't Asian, you would get signed. And
that's the sad part, right? It's because of their skin color, it's because of their race. Just because you're Asian, you're not mainstream enough to make it.
And obviously, yeah. We've seen these people go to their not necessarily their country of origin, mind you, but go to their parents' country of origin. We've seen Ailee went to Korea and has been quite successful. Lydia Paik, she works with YG now behind the scenes.
Yep, as a producer.
And Tiger JK is, of course, one of those people. And a lot of, you would be surprised, but a lot of the hip-hop artists in Korea now are people who were living in the United States and obviously knew they weren't going to be taken seriously in American hip-hop. So they went to Korea where they thought they might be able to succeed, or they went to China, or they went to Japan, wherever their families or they are from. And it's unfortunate that you have this exodus of talented people. And, you know, maybe if the whole musical industry was more globalized, we wouldn't have this problem. But we're still...
Maybe in the next few years, the music industry will become globalized enough. Because, you know, we have room for a lot of people when it comes to music.
Mm-hmm.
Because music isn't supposed to be relegated to one race.
Or just one color. People.
It's supposed to be enjoyed by everyone. I mean, I've said this before, I'm just going to say it again. Music is meant to be enjoyed by everyone, okay? And it's just unfortunate that because you're Asian, because, you know, you're of a different race, that you don't get the chance to show the rest of the world what you're capable of. Yeah, it will change. It may take a while, but I'm very positive that things will change. Because this is now the internet generation. Everything can be shared at the snap of a finger. I mean, why do you think Psy became so big in the U.S. right now, right?
Yep.
Because of the internet. Yeah. So I have faith. I'm hoping in the future things will change. And I guess the biggest killer of, you know, of this hope and this dream is ignorance.
Yeah. So for those of you that, again, and I know a lot of white people are into K-pop. Like, that's, we all know that you're there. And the thing is, don't necessarily argue that your other friends should be into K-pop, because that is the worst way to introduce people to music. Like, why aren't you listening to this thing I love is not going to convince anybody. But what you could agitate for in the wider spectrum is, hey, you know, why don't you guys think that someone can't be taken seriously as an actor, for example, if he's not playing a nerd or a funny guy or, you know, a ninja.
ninja.
You know, why, like, just bring up the discussion. Like, why do we think Asian Americans have to be relegated to certain roles in society? Why do we think Black people are always portrayed a certain way? Why do you think Hispanic people are portrayed a certain way? And of course, it helps if you have friends of those particular ethnic groups that aren't like that. It's like, why is it that, you know, all of the people of this ethnic group that you've run into in your entire life are nothing like these stereotypes? But why do you think we consistently embrace those stereotypes when it comes to acting and to music and to entertainment in general? Like, bring up the discussion. You may not believe it, but it's a lot more valid when it comes from you as opposed to when it comes from me.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I agree with that.
So don't just let this situation with Tiger JK be, you know, this racist rant that transpired because of an interaction between an audience member and an artist. Like, let it be the foundation of a bigger discussion. And it's a discussion that we desperately need to have, not just in the United States, but I think really in every country and in every society, we need to talk about these issues of race, and we need to get to an understanding between each other, because, you know, we're not some mystical other group. We're all human beings, and we all deserve to be treated like one.
I agree. And you know what? This is a bit strange, okay? Because in the Philippines, I've noticed that a lot of people tend to say racist things and act in a racist manner, but they don't know any better. It's just ignorance, really. They have no idea what they're saying and that what they're doing is racist. It's sad, really, because they have no clue. And I guess it's because they're not that exposed to a lot of, well, the Philippines is exposed to a lot of different races, not, but yeah, I see a lot of white people here. And really, what they know of other ethnic groups is what they see on TV and what they see in movies. So stereotypes doesn't really help.
And ultimately, like, that's kind of the part of the reason why he said, you know, fuck Hollywood, because Hollywood is really what's embracing and propagating these stereotypes, because you have countries, especially Asian countries, because, you know, that's what a lot of us are exposed to, but you have countries where you don't have the members of these ethnic groups in very large number. There's very few of them, and some of them embrace the stereotypes and some don't, but everybody's pretty much treated the same way, painted with the same brush. And strangely enough, when we were playing Borderlands last night, we were talking about this, and we were talking about Japanese media specifically, and my friend was like, you know, why do you think Japan hasn't learned their lesson yet? Like, the amount of times you've been called out over the way black people have been portrayed in live-action TV shows and anime and in manga, like, why hasn't there been an upswell of, hey, you know, maybe we're wrong about this, and maybe we're offending people that are now part of our target audience because of how far the internet has pushed our media into other countries. Like, when we make shows, sure, the primary group of people that are driving the production of shows are our own citizens. And of course, it's the same thing with Korea. Primarily, when they make TV shows, when they make movies, it's the home box office that they're looking at. But you're not working with companies to spread your influence throughout the world. So even though most of the faces in the show may be Korean or maybe Japanese, a lot of the people that are picking it up and watching it later aren't going to be. And
that's right.
There's no reason to alienate them over something as simple as a stereotype of a character. Like, there's no real reason for it. We talked about the second season of Hanayori Dango in episode one, where the main female character goes to New York.
Is that where she gets lost in New York and then she gets mugged by a black guy?
Several black guys. I think it was like four of them. They encircle her and threaten to rape her and rob her, and then of course her hero shows up and saves her. And like, that's an insult on several different levels. Like, there's no reason to portray New York City like that, and there's no reason to portray black people specifically as behaving that way, but they were making a point, so it was done this way. And I don't think the original creators realize how offensive that is, and how many black people who were watching later, especially black males, would really feel like, hey, they don't respect me, or they think that I would behave like this if I saw an Asian girl. And it's just a weird thing that doesn't need to be there.
Yep. And it reminds me of Story again. What the hell? Didn't he say something like that, that he was scared of black people?
He changed in the wrong van. And he jumped into the wrong van, really, and it was white people, and he was like, well, if it was black people, I would have gotten shot. And
that.
I think there was another situation with Samsung and Hyori, and I don't remember if it was Any Call or Any Club, but in one of those videos, she's working in a grocery store with Eric, and it's black guys that are vandalizing and robbing the grocery store. And it's just like, in Korea? Why?
I don't know. God, shouldn't it be Koreans or Asians? I don't know.
It's just a weird, Korea, like, right? Why would you travel to a whole other country thousands of miles away from your own just to be robbing grocery stores and really taking part in criminal activities? When you look at it, when you have 99% of your country is one ethnic group, the people committing 99% of the crimes are that ethnic group. Why would you feel the need to represent it as someone of another race, another skin color?
And it's because of a stereotype. That's it. It's plain simple. They think that people can relate to stereotypes. Like, okay, this is what we all know. Just because you're black, okay, it means that you shoot people, you mug people, you rob grocery stores. It's what they think. It's because it's what they see on TV. It's what they see in movies. Then it's what Hollywood propagates. It's just a sad reality.
And again, because we keep buying into it, they keep making it. And really and truly, the only people with any power to really change that type of moviegoers in general are those who are part of, whether they like it or not, who are a part of the system of oppression. And you're really the only people who can say, you know, hey, Black people don't act like this, Hispanic people don't act like this, Asian people don't act like this, and it's disgusting that you think they do. And you keep portraying them this way. And because you're doing it, and you're the largest producer of movies, you make the most money. Other countries with smaller entertainment industries, they're replicating it. Countries where it's not even culturally relevant. Like, it's not relevant in Japan, where they may never meet a Black person, to say in Japanese movies that Black people are thieves, or Black people are drug addicts or drug dealers. It doesn't fit with their frame of reference. It means nothing to them.
Right.
Other than, oh, that's how I saw it in this other Hollywood movie. So it's not something that's needed. And the sooner we realize that it isn't, I think the better off we're all going to be.
Yep, I agree. I totally agree. So I think we're done with this.
Yeah.
And I guess we move on to the email.
This is from Tim, if you remember correctly.
Hey, Tim, hi.
We had a long discussion with him before through email, and we mentioned that the emails kind of dropped off, and there was some confusion as to why that happened, because I was enjoying the conversation, and I was going to reply to him through email, but I was like, well, there's a recording coming up, so it's easier to address it there, and that way Noel can address it as well. So he says, hey, how you guys doing? Hope everything has been well. Just emailing you to let you know that I'm still here, listening and enjoying the podcast as always.
Thank you.
I also wanted to email you and make sure there wasn't any confusion over the change of emails over the Sonia Shide subject. At the end of episode 55, you made it sort of sound like I stopped emailing because I disliked your reason for not liking Sonia Shide. I don't remember saying that, but if it came off that way, I'm sorry.
Did we do that, D?
I don't remember.
I can't even remember. We're so sorry, Tim. Sometimes it just happens that we don't remember things because it's been a long while. But we don't remember. But if, you know, you felt that way, we apologize. We didn't really do it on purpose.
I wanted to make sure to let you know that's not the reason at all. I love the podcast. I just got super busy and I also didn't want to be taking up too much of your time. It's fine. Yeah. Email us. I like long emails. You guys are allowed to make fun of other groups if you want to. Thank you. The only reason why I emailed initially was because I was just getting back into the K-pop scene and didn't know much, and I was just curious. I'll let you know that thanks to you guys, I've also gotten into K-pop artists and their songs. Here are some examples of songs I really enjoy and that are in heavy rotation on my iPod because I listen to the AR K-pop podcast.
Nice.
Yunhao, Run. Such a fantastic, uplifting song, and I love the video too. I hope Yunha does well. She's incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Handsome People, Ooey Ooey, and Shall We Dance.
Yep.
Any Handsome People is fantastic. Spike Speaker, Russian Roulette, Painkiller, currently one of my favorite girl groups. Phantom, Burning. 4 minute volume up. I really wasn't into their early songs, but this one I really got into. I really like the song, but the video is so awesome. Great concept.
Vampire concept, right?
Hyunsung. Yeah. It's ridiculous, but it's a really entertaining video to watch. Hyunsung awesome and Hyuna's Troublemaker. You mentioned on the podcast once, and I went to check it out. I immediately liked it. And while I'm only lukewarm on Big Bang, my friend is now a huge Big Bang fan. Anyways, just wanted to make sure you gals know that I'm still enjoying the podcast and no hard feelings. I'm not a crazy K-pop fanboy who goes psycho if someone doesn't like the same groups they like. Music is very personal. Everyone is allowed to enjoy different things as well as talk about the things they dislike too. I secretly like Super Junior's Mr. Simple and Kara's Mr. and Step, but you gals bag on them all the time. It's just totally cool. I think it's funny, so no worries. A little backstory on why I make fun of Kara so much. One of my good friends from college, when he first got into K-pop, he was just obsessively into Kara, and it was the strangest thing because at the time they were not relevant at all. This was before Mr. and everything. I was just like, and I think it was because
Sungyeon, right? He likes Sungyeon.
Right. She used to host a StarCraft related thing. And of course, being a nerd, he was into StarCraft and all that. She had a StarCraft show on Mnet, I think, at Orgom TV. And I always made fun of him for liking Kara. So of course, that extended to Kara as well, especially as like more groups debuted that were better than they were. And it's like, you were the only group from the classic year 2007 that was still around, but I couldn't understand where their fan base was. And then they made Mister, and they got popular.
Exploded. For me, it's I have to explain why I'm bagging on Kara. It's like no one can sing in that group, like really, really sing. And I don't understand why Yuri gets vocal no troubles. That means yikes. Okay, but then again, okay, secret shame. I actually likes them. Oh my God, that song. I know he likes Steph, right? That song is very catchy, and sometimes I find myself singing.
I don't think I've ever heard that song, which is weird. But of course, I love the song Mister, and I like the girls' personalities and all that. It's just like personality is not really what I go for.
Yeah, vocally they're not the greatest, but a lot of people like them, and it's not that we hate Kara. No, we don't. I actually adore Kara because they're pretty. And
she's like making fun of them. And Yuri has the best attitude in the world.
Yeah, I know. The goddess,
she's
right?
Endlessly entertaining. And of course, it's one of those things where if this was in K-pop, nobody would like her. Like if she was just a regular person and had that kind of attitude, people would build hate sites just for her. But in this world of idoldom, this world of constant internet surveillance and all that, she's awesome. And like that is the kind of attitude I like my talented K-pop stars to have. Like you can see her attitude reflected to a certain extent in people like Hyori, in people like the Wonder Girls, the Brown Eyed Girls. You can sort of see that same sort of attitude mirrored. And of course they have the talent to back it up. Whereas Yuri is more of a variety show personality, which is cool. Like there are people who are made for variety.
Oh, but one thing nice about Kara, and, you know, I rarely say, well, yeah, I like them in a way, but not vocally, but one thing good about Kara is that they have their own signature sound, and they really haven't deviated from it. Like, if you listen to their old songs, same producer, same kind of style, and it's just bubblegum pop. It's happy.
Like, one definitely good thing about them is they made it without having to really compromise their sound.
They stuck to their style. Their sound is Kara. You can really tell. You listen to their songs, you know it's Kara. Undoubtedly. Even if they change their concepts, it's still them.
And the Super Junior thing is just, like I said earlier in the episode, it's just general disappointment.
Yeah.
Like, over like, 7 years, so like, you've deteriorated to this thing that I don't even really recognize. And for some people, it's a good thing that they're the Super Junior that they are today. For other people, it's not necessarily a good thing. I don't like Mr. Simple, but I like Sorry Sorry.
Yeah, and it's you. I like Sorry Sorry. And
the sad part
about Mr. Simple, or maybe the sad part about the releases after Sorry Sorry, is that they tried to duplicate Sorry, but it's not going to happen, you know.
So here's
this. They want to stick that formula.
Here's his PS. I like the new Spica song, I'll Be There. Sure, it's not super innovative or anything. It actually sounds like it is two different songs mashed together. One song is sort of a light pop song from the last few years, and the other a song from the older days of K-pop. Parts remind me a little of the Sunny Happy SES songs, sort of.
Oh, yes, of course. SES, my first K-pop group. Uh-huh, I agree.
I understand why they had to do one light and positive song after three songs that were darker in tone. I just hope to see them back to their regular, darker, more mature tone in the next song. PPS, no talk of Orange Caramel's lipstick song. I like that video. It was fun. No. I don't even know what the video looks like. It's just like, I was so angry at the idea that Orange Caramel gets a full-length album. I mean, I know there are people that are into them and that like them, and they probably have more popularity as Orange Caramel than the whole group does. And that's just basically what I don't like about them. It's like, they are...
Orange Caramel songs.
I don't understand their appeal. It's like, you take people who really, really, musically, should be so much better than this, and you reduce them to, you know, will sell, which is basically infantilizing all of the grown women in the group, making them to act like children, and then making really cutesy songs. And some of them, like, structurally are very good songs. It's just, like, the concept that goes along with it is what I don't like.
And Tim, honestly, I had no idea that Orange Caramel had a new song out. Sorry about that.
Yeah, they didn't release the whole album. And I saw screen caps from the video, and I just didn't click on it. Because it's so much easier in life if you avoid the things you don't like. Yeah. You'll be a lot less angry.
For the sake of other people, we should mention them. But I think we used to mention Orange Caramel, but I never really got into their songs.
But then they got announced for a full-length album. And then I just, like, no, not anymore. You see what happens when we acknowledge them? But no, like, if there's, like I said before, if there's anybody or any news item that we didn't cover and you would like to hear our opinion on it, be sure to email us.
Let us know.
Email is the best way, because we notice it. Or you can comment on the website, arkpop.com. Of course, the email is thealwaysrationalkpoppodcast@gmail.com. And Tim, don't feel bad. Email when you have the time. Yeah. No problem discussing stuff with you. Twitter.com/arkpoppodcast. Yeah, that's right. You tweet us there. Facebook.com/arkpop or on the forum at ssanetwork.freeforums.org. Again, we're not like some standoffish podcast people who think far too much of ourselves. Like, we are totally down to discuss this whole thing with you, because it's not just about me and Noel talking to each other. It's also about fostering a dialogue with you, creating, I guess, our little healthy spot for K-pop discussion. Like, everything doesn't have to be all obsession and talking into echo chambers and only hearing our own opinions parroted back at ourselves. Because even for groups we like, when they do something wrong and something dickish, like, we have no problem with doing really the responsible thing and slamming on them for bad behavior when they do it.
Yeah, and, you know, even with the groups that we like, if they release music that is, you know, we don't like, we say something like what I did with DBSK. I am a huge DBSK fan, and I have no problems just bagging on them this time. I tried to do it in a nice way, because DBSK, but still, I'm so disappointed with the new songs, just to let you know.
So I think that's the end of the episode. I mean, always, if you want to contact us or you have a question about something, even if we don't know the answer, we can't really help with promoting stuff. Like, we don't know who to talk to.
But,
aside from, like, wanting to us to spread your music or get you in contact with artists, which we can't do at this point, we're pretty much open for any other K-pop-related discussion. So, go ahead and contact us.
Has anyone contacted us? Like, oh yeah, producer has contacted us, but any others?
I think we got another email that was kind of weird. And I was just like, there's nothing I can do for you. But it is interesting to see our little space grow. And of course, the more people that you know that are into K-pop and want to experience something like Tim, we have no problem with, like, tell them about us.
So go ahead. Let us know, okay? We're nice. Yeah.
Mostly.
And we're trying to get back into groove of things, and I'm trying to live a normal life. Trying. It's an operative word there. I'm doing a great job. So, pat on the back myself.
Yeah, so we are trying to be bi-weekly with the podcast. Unfortunately, we can't be weekly like we used to be. But this does give us more stuff to discuss when we get around to recording, because it's 2 weeks worth of information instead of just one.
I agree. So, yeah, I think that's it. Episode 59 is a wrap. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You guys have a great day, great weekend, wherever you are. Bye!
know I always had a heavy heart. I would always put on my guard, and I never thought of you. Should have stuck to you like glue. Every time we went through that pain, I left you going on insane. Girl, I should have thought of you. I should have seen your point of view. Oh, I could try to explain. I could take all the blame. Ain't it better later than never, baby? You know I've been next to you lately. Now I want it how it was before. I know it may be late now, and I know that I'm taking a vow, but I'm here, I'm a superhero, and I can't save you. Baby, I know you can't forget the things I've done. I know I've been away, but I can't save you now. But I can't save you now. Whoa. I was really dumb, why did I go? When did I ever put on the show? I should have been around for you. Instead I got you feeling blue. Oh, I could try to explain. I could take all the blame. To you lately. Now I want it how it was before. I know it may be late now, and I know that I'm taking a vow, but I'm here, I'm a superhero, and I can't save you. Baby, I know you can't forget the things I've done. I know I've been away, but I can't save you now.
Talk to you, can you hear the sound? Tell me what to do this time. I'm all yours.
You know I didn't mean it, I never thought to hurt you, girl. Oh, I can't put this right. I'll be your knight.
I know it may be late now, and I know that I'm taking a vow, but I'm here, I'm a superhero. I know I've been away, but I can't save you now. Whoa, but I can't save you now.